In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Did you know everybody prays? Even atheists pray? You've heard that old saying, right? That old saw, there are no atheists in foxholes. And isn't it true? I mean, whenever tragedy strikes, even atheists will lament that they find themselves praying to some god. We see it on TV, we experience it in our own lives. When tragedy strikes, everyone turns to prayer, whether they believe in a God or not, whether they're sure He's there or not. Oftentimes it's that halting sort of prayer, God, if you're there. But people turn to prayer because we all instinctively know the law. It's written on our hearts. We know that we are sinners. The problem, though, with our prayers is they're usually based on the idea that if I pray hard enough or long enough or if I'm sincere enough or I bargain with God in the right way or I get the formula of prayer right, then God will listen to me. He'll give me what I want. And even Christians will fall into that trap, won't they? Many of us Christians don't really pay much attention to what we pray, sometimes just praying for what is in fact actually selfish or self-serving, but then at the end, we'll throw on that tagline that you often hear a lot of Christians use, even myself, in Jesus' name, amen. As though by saying that one little line, somehow God will have to answer every single prayer that you utter. And of course, when Christians do that, they do it well-meaningly. They do it basing it on this morning's gospel reading where our own Lord promised, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. But this isn't a magic formula, is it? It's not a magic formula by which you can hoodwink God or make him your genie in a bottle. This is something different than a magic formula. Instead, what Jesus is talking about is he's talking about a boldness or an access to the Father that we have. Literally, the word in Greek there speaks of a right to speak in the presence of the assembly. Because this is a Greek political word that St. Paul, actually it's not St. Paul, who was it? It was the Gospel, so it was St. John. It's a Greek political word that's being used here. It comes out of those early Greek democracies. And so in order to explain it a little bit, we have to get into a small lesson on politics. So brace yourselves. You guys have all probably heard that democracy started in Greece. You've probably heard that somewhere along the way. And way back, thousands of years ago, in Greece, there were cities that ruled their territory around them. And in those cities, the citizens of those cities, and the Greek word for citizen is demos, hence demokrasi, you know, rule by the people, rule by the citizens. The demos, the people, they would gather together whenever that city had some major decision to make, and all the citizens of that city had a right to vote in the assembly, and they had a right to speak to the assembly. And that's what our Lord does when he speaks to them plainly. That's what the word there is talking about, this plain speech. He's speaking to them with the right to speak from the Father of the Father's mysteries. And what's the primary mystery of the Father? The primary mystery is his forgiveness of sinners. And this is what is important about his going to the Father. Because he gets this right to speak by going to the Father through his death. And he gets that right to speak to the Father in the Father's presence and also a right to speak from the Father of the Father's mysteries. Thus, through Jesus and through the forgiveness that you and I have through the cross, you and I also have that same right to speak to the Father. Now, in Greek democracies, not everybody was a citizen. You may or may not have known that part. The only people who were actually citizens in Greek democracies were the men of the city who owned property. Only the landed gentry, only the men who owned stuff. And those men had a right to speak in the assembly. They had a right to help set policy and to influence the course of the city. And our Lord says this. He says, I have said these things to you in figures of speech. And the things he's talking about are his imminent death. Because you might recall the reading we had today actually comes from the night that Jesus was betrayed, from the Thursday night before his death on Good Friday. So he's talking about his imminent death and his going to the Father. And he's using figures of speech to talk about how he would die and would rise. And then after that, he would reveal things more fully to them. But he uses figures of speech. You might remember 2 weeks ago when we heard in the gospel just the words immediately before this, where Jesus talks about a little while and you won't see me, and a little while and you will see me. Those are the figures of speech he's talking about here. I've said these things to you in figures of speech. But when he returns, he will have the authority to speak in the Father's presence, and the authority to speak all that the Father has given him to say, and to speak it clearly and forthrightly. For what did he do up there with the Father to win this right to speak so clearly from the Father? You know what he did? He made satisfaction for the sins of the whole world by his innocent suffering and death on the cross. And then, having done that, having shed his blood for the whole world, he brings his innocent lifeblood into the Father's presence in heaven. And he swaps his life for yours. Because the life of a creature, the Bible says, is in its blood. And even scientifically, isn't that true? Blood is the life force inside of us. It's our beating heart. You know, without your heart, without blood, you'd die. Blood does all the major functions of your body. It cleanses your body. It feeds your body. It keeps it going. Blood is your life force. He swaps his life force for yours. He purchases you from the debt that your sins owe. He purchases you from the death that your sins deserve. And he purchases you from the damnation that your failings have earned you. And having purchased you, you now belong to him. Which, normally speaking, would mean you are his slave. But he's a different kind of master. He is the kind who elevates you. He makes you his equal. He makes you an inheritor of his kingdom. And so in him, you are like those landed gentry in those Greek democracies. In him, you are a property-owning citizen of heaven with a right to speak in the Father's presence. And thus, his going to the Father through his death gives you a right to speak and to be heard by Holy God Almighty. And his resurrection return from the Father gives you and I that right to us. It brings us that right. And then his ascension back to the Father's right hand means that if your own right to speak before the Father weren't enough, he's up there right now praying and interceding and speaking to his Father on your behalf constantly from the right hand of the Father. And so if God is for you, who can be against you? Through Christ, you have the right to speak to the Father. Through him, your prayers are heard. And this is how you and I come to the Father. We come through Jesus. He is our ticket to the Father's presence. He's our access, our backstage pass to the most powerful person in the universe. He is your in with God. And so praying in Jesus' name isn't just about name dropping. Praying in his name is about faith in Jesus. For as the Lord said, "The Father loves you because you love me and believe that I come from him." And so faith in Jesus is nothing other than fear, love, and trust in Jesus. A fear, love, and trust in the one who sent him. Faith, fear, love, and trust, it's that thing through which the Father gives you and me a right to speak to him. And do you know what this means? It means that to whom much has been given, much is expected. You and I, we've been granted the ear of Almighty God. And the world hasn't been granted that same gift. The world has no promise that God will listen to their prayers. And even though the world prays to gods of its own imagining, they haven't been granted that gift. This gift comes only through Jesus. And it's a mighty gift. And with such a gift comes great responsibility. It comes the responsibility to carry the world who doesn't have the same access to God. We have to carry the world to God in our prayers, to bring the world before God the Father. Because Jesus died for all people, didn't he? He didn't just die for some. He died for everyone. And so we have to bring those folks who don't yet know that to God the Father in our prayers. Those who know and receive the gift of his death and his resurrection, we have to pray for the rest who haven't yet received that. We have to bring the world to him daily in our prayers, and especially here in divine service in our prayers. Because here, where the Lord brings all the company of heaven to earth itself in the Lord's Supper, we who have the ear of God Almighty have a special responsibility to pray to him who deigns to be present with us. Not only does God give us access and a right to speak in his presence, he also comes to be with us each week when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. He condescends to come down out of heaven and to be with us mortal men. And so we have to make use of the gift that he has granted. We have to pray when he makes himself available to us. And this is why we have to come to church as Christians. For here in the divine service, especially in the service of the sacrament, God our Father comes down with the whole court of heaven, with the angels, with the archangels, with Adam and Eve, and all the saints who have gone before us. He comes to be with us and to honor the mystery of his own Son taking away the sin of the world. And so when he is here, how can we not pray to him? And so we do. For the life of the world depends on our prayers. Because the world without Christ is damned. Things here on earth go from bad to worse. We've all seen it. We've all experienced it. And can you imagine if God had not intervened through Christ and did not intervene every single day in our lives? Can you imagine how bad things really would be? With as bad as they get at times, can you imagine how much worse they would get? And so because of the cross, we pray. Through the cross, we pray. Trusting in Christ, we pray to our Father, who only grants prayers for the sake of his beloved Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.